Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a quick rant of truth. This one motivated by an email I got from one of my favorites, Campaign for Liberty, originally and associated with Ron Paul, originally initiated by the Ron Paul movement of 2008 and associated thereto. And this email, it reads that, oh, they said the quiet part out loud, did the Fed. And what I want to say here is that there's nothing once you decide to just go all in on lies, which is mostly our entire world. And that's why we have to at least call it out. And we have to be active and open and proud of it. We have to be proud of our beliefs, knowing that our beliefs and our emphases are the ones that if the world is to be saved, it's going to save it. And so recall this interesting situation. I know I noticed it, where cryptocurrency was something that was not discussed. It was not discussed. It was a bad thing. And then all of a sudden, almost overnight, you had Tom Brady being a spokesperson for cryptocurrency on massive commercials all over the place and many other mentions of validity. And but yet included is now the idea of, well, maybe the central bank wants a digital currency. Well, they already have a digital currency. It's called putting dollars into existence and letting them fly around electronically, right? But the funny thing about this digital currency that they want, and the subject of this email is, as they say, we said all along, we're talking about the end of private financial transactions altogether. Government goons knowing where every dollar you make and spend ends up, even determining what you can and cannot spend them on. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell has come right out and said it. The central bank digital currency would be, quote, identity verified and, quote, not anonymous. But, of course, we would be looking at balanced privacy protection with identity verification. Okay, guys, literally, the function, the primary fundamental of cryptocurrencies is that you can have them and be anonymous. That's one of their benefits. And so just like when there's hidden energy technology that gets stolen from the patent holders and gets thrown into some vault somewhere so that it can't be used, either they get paid off or they die, or it's over in the black programs to where it's good enough for destruction and alleged superiority, but not good enough to actually advance the world on a day-to-day basis. They take things and they ruin it. Central control and or central secrecy takes concepts and flips them on their heads. Cryptocurrency is based on a crypto. Okay, you have it, but it's private. Okay? And here we are going, hey, we want electronic currency. But of course, it'll be traceable. It'll be identity verified. So listen to this. This isn't your bank account, which I already have way too much information with. Have you noticed that now if you just go somewhere and use your card, they can email your receipt? Like, you don't even tell them your email. So now your card is being used, and I don't remember saying they could do this. Hey, would you like an email? It's like, I guess I'll take an email. Here's my, okay, good. Like, what? I didn't even tell you. No, that's because they've shared your email with the entirety of the world. And it's now disconnected directly to any and all transactions. But at least that's with your bank account, right? You can still avoid it with cash, right? You can avoid it with cash. And you can have cash and it's not traceable. But remember what we've gone to. Remember, we have frozen entire country citizens' funds because they're not in the political right area. And I've said this before, the way to true equality and freedom and free marketplace of ideas, that beautiful place where the innovation comes from the independent mind, not from the hive mind, the innovation comes from the individual thinking something differently, not being pressured to think the same. That beautiful place is one of privacy, one of individualism, one of not worrying whether or not you're supposed to think it. You are supposed to think it because the right society embraces such ingenuity, embraces the individual mind. But where are we now? Oh, yeah, if you're a Russian citizen, you don't even get to use Netflix. Like, what do I have to do? What do I have to do with anything? We're trying to make your whole population miserable so that you won't, so that hopefully your leadership doesn't have the support. Wait a second. How is that free market? You're in the market, okay? And if you're in that market as a business, then you don't make political decisions because you can be invisible to that. But now they've incorporated, oh, no. Netflix, you better have an opinion. And one way you can share that proper opinion is to take away somebody's otherwise right to your product or service that they would contract with you for. No. You will show the willpower, the political sway of this government by using your services or lack thereof to punish people. So that's the background we've come into in the last year and a half. Last 9 months, really, because it's been mostly a Ukraine thing. Freeze funds, which we've done in the past, but not on this type of a level. And then specifically, companies taking away services because they're so worried about marching in lockstep with the proper regime's outlook. They're just an extension. Oh, no. Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No one should be able to watch movies in Russia. You know, because it's all their fault. What? Okay, so the narrative is so important, even without this digital currency connected to us, instead of literally being anonymous. The narrative is so important that we do those types of things. So where are we going to be with the digital currency that can be tied to us? You don't get, zero dissidents get any resources. If they can identify you, which is the point. Oh, we'll try to balance. Oh, no, we'll try to balance privacy protection with identity verification. Okay, here's the deal. Cash can be stolen, but that's called stealing. With this, when they freeze your accounts, when they take your money, that's theft, but it won't be called stealing. It'll be you deserved it because you spoke bad words. So yes, as usual, take a concept, twist it on its head once the world has become just one of entire deception, which is where we are, which is again why through due process, a certain non-elected, non-president needs to be punished so that the world starts to come back to coming close to what we know it can and should be. Then I don't mean that six states go, hey, you shouldn't be able to make a $300 billion decision because after all, it costs us some money. I'm talking about the student debt relief. 50 states, only six of them, and only the Republicans said, I don't think so. But you know why they really said that? That's going to cost us money. So if it didn't cost you money, you'd be all about a president making a $300 billion to $1 trillion decision unilaterally? Is that it? If it didn't cost you money, you'd be okay with it? And that's six different states out of 50 in the country that's supposed to be the last best hope for freedom. The rest of them are like, oh, you know, it's legally questionable. It's not legally questionable, all right? No individual in a country purporting to be a democracy gets to make a $300 billion to $1 trillion decision. How is this hard? Why? And Kim and I have actually discussed this. And he goes, well, it's strategic. And she's right. I'm not actually using that voice to say she's not right. But I'm saying they're stupid to make it strategic. They'll wait for the election. Why? Stand on the floor of the Congress now. If not now, when? When are you going to say enough is enough? because the same fellow thought that it was his role, not Congress's role, not the people who must actually answer at least impliedly to their specific voters in their specific areas of the country, red state, blue state. And if you go way blue and you're a red state, good luck getting voted in again. If you're way red and you're in a blue state, and good luck getting voted in again. Now, that's some direct ties to your actual constituents. But somebody says, well, I told you guys to agree with me. So if you're not going to agree with me, they didn't agree with you because the country doesn't agree with you. What part of that don't you get? The congressional votes, as bad as they may be, at least in the sense of what they do not do, are a good reflection of the country not wanting that to be done. And so the same person who said, well, I don't care if the country wants it to be done, anybody with over 100 people, you better get a vaccine, or you better figure out, or you better test every single week. That individual said that. So Fauci was the little demon who has done the most harm to the world in the last 50 years as the sponsorship of this, as a person who allowed that research. But Joe Biden took the cake because he's the one who then said, yes, you better. And then a bunch of people actually did anyway. A year of free vaccines. A year. And he's like, well, you got to take them. Okay, first of all, a year's passed, jackass. So it's not the same variant anymore. So you couldn't be less scientifically logical if your life depended on it. Second of all, how is it that he's doing anything but specifically and expressly giving the middle finger to the Constitution if he's doing that? How is it that 535 adults who supposedly have been to law school, almost all of them, and who supposedly raise their hand to uphold the Constitution, say, well, I mean, I won't do anything wrong, but if anybody else does something way, way wrong, well, what are you going to do? Well, some people won't agree with me, and we got parties to go to, and, you know, we got hands to shake. So what are you going to do if somebody makes the world's largest financial decision on his own? What are you going to do? What do you think you should do? You're 535 of the most powerful people on the planet. You're not going to do anything? Well, some people say it's legally questionable. Oh, great. So like Nebraska people, the Nebraska legislatures are the ones who have to, who have to uphold. Thank you, Nebraska. But what the hell the rest of you doing? There were five other states. I'm proud of them. But seriously, not even 1/7 of the state said, what are you doing? What are you doing? Who do you think you are? And forget, well, we got to see if it legally holds up. No, it's not whether it legally holds up. You make a stand and say, it is not legal. Anybody with half of a brain, and certainly me, who's supposed to be supporting the Constitution, we are not going to allow you to assume to make $300 billion decisions until a court finally looks at it. We know that's criminal, and we're going to stand against it. That's the type of thing that has to happen. If it doesn't, then this kind of stuff is going to continue. We'll say, oh, yeah, well, you know what? We do want a digital currency. Oh, awesome, you're finally into digital currency. No, not the digital currency that was actually beneficial and actually was an alternative, because that was part of the digital currency. It was an alternative to the bullshit that they do when they create money from nothing and then therefore get to take your actually blood and sweat earned property and value from you if you don't keep it up to keep up the, you know, 30-year loan to a T. So that was already the bad part. And so the good part was it was an alternative to supporting that crap. And if many people have said, the history of the world, or certainly the Western world, and I think probably most of the world, is the history of banking. The constant struggle of bankers wanting to get something from nothing, of wanting to have ever more control, and other people pushing back at different times. Lincoln, and I'll say it, Hussein, good luck there. Sorry, man. Gaddafi, sorry, man. Supposedly even, and I'll say it, I don't care. This is interesting. I mean, for those people who think that anybody who's bad cannot, we can't talk about it, about them in any way except that they're bad. I'm going to tell you something else I've learned here recently. Hitler, bad guy. But haven't you always wondered why it is that they were so enamored? How, was it just because he was a good speech maker? Because we kind of look at that, are you German stupid? Look, he's a little short guy. He's not even from your country. He's got a stupid mustache and he yells a lot. But what if it was more than that? Turns out it was. Did they fall for something that they shouldn't have? Should they have stopped well before they did, before we had to stop them? Absolutely. Did he turn into a Looney Tunes? Absolutely. But how did he really start to get their devotion? Well, part of it was that he helped turn around the economy. And you know how he did that? He stopped usury again, taking away from the greed of the bankers. And Germany had an economic explosion therefrom. And so, again, the history of the world is about the history of banking. And here we are on the not banking aspect, the most tyrannical the world has been in centuries upon centuries upon centuries. And we're about to let the bank go, well, screw you guys. You have a digital currency. We're going to track you wherever you are. NSA-led, lying agency-led, bankster-led type of initiatives that say, screw your... No, I mean, we've gotten away with it. We have literally kept Russian citizens from getting basic services that companies would otherwise be happy to give them. We have taken away and frozen assets at a rate, or at least in a scope of people, unprecedented in the history of the world. And we've gotten away with it. Even as the reason for it is Ukraine, which the criminal president is inherently tied to with his bad dealings. Even as that country, oh, because it was attacked. Oh, wait, the United States is the one who started that attack by insisting on over-militarizing. I'll say it again. Did they start it? No. They ceded that. They tried to get Russia to attack by doing something entirely unreasonable that gave them an existential threat. Is the Ukraine problem a Russian problem? Absolutely. Is a cofactor the United States did foreign relations? Absolutely. The same idiot, non-elected president who has dirty business dealings in Ukraine is also the one who, while acting like he supports Ukraine, baited Russia into an existential war with the Ukraine. And after that, started just doing financial tyranny on anybody who could even come close to. So here we are, Federal Reserve, saying, oh, no. No, it'd have to be identity verified. Yeah, identity verified. But we'll have a balance. Cash is not identity verified. So where is our privacy? Once again, down the tubes. And if you want perfect control, or you're on the continuum towards it, the less privacy the average citizen has, the closer you have to perfect control. Here we are, guys. We are in the midst of tyrannical step after tyrannical step occurring over and over and over again. And we've got to start saying these things openly and proudly. We have to start saying, guys, when are you going to impeach this president? The only thing that's going to begin to stop these people. Oh, we'll wait for the next election. And there's a good chance it'll be stolen too. So we'll wait for the next election. Then the thing, we'll let it be a political process. You know what a political process is? U.S. senators, not that any of them have gut cell number five, except about two of them. U.S. senators standing on the congressional floor and filibustering about this president using unprecedented power. And I never got on Obama, honestly. I didn't really care that much. But, you know, when he said, yeah, f*** your laws, we're not enforcing those, that was a stepping stone. And he said, I know what laws you've passed around immigration, Congress, and you can go f*** yourself because I'm not enforcing them. That was on the way. All of these executive powers from Bush Jr. and before then on were executive power, then executive power, then executive power. The only executive orders that I appreciate are executive orders that got rid of executive orders. That's it. Those are the only ones worthy of anything. Other than that, guess what the executive is supposed to do? Execute the laws. And that doesn't mean kill them, President Obama. That doesn't mean kill the laws. It means actually administer them. Okay, I don't want to. Maybe that was his confusion. I'm supposed to execute the law. So we got a firing squad out there and all those laws over there that we don't like. And so we're just. That's not what execute the laws means.
Oh, that's totally what I thought it meant.
Now, President Obama, I've heard you. You're a great orator. I know that you're a great orator. I know that's not what you think it meant. I know you're smarter than that. Well, that's my story. I executed the laws. So right there, that was literally an unconstitutional and criminal act. To say, yeah, 535 people, 535 people that represent all of the American people the most directly. Them. I'm not executing these laws. You can go yourself. You could either agree with me or you cannot agree with me. But whether or not you agree with me or not, I am not going to enforce these laws. So you can go yourself. That means he should have been hung by a hanging tree for treason at that moment. And when another president later feels his oats and says, yeah, go get your shot or off, then he should be hung by a hanging tree for treason through due process, just like I always say. And when that same president says, Congress, I told you to pass these laws around debt relief, and if you're not going to do it, I'll make my $300 billion to $1 trillion decision on my own self. So Congress, the 350 million people that they directly represent, I'm doing it my self. That person is now worthy of the hanging tree for treason through due process, of course. And when I say treason, some people are going to go, that's not technically. No, it is. First of all, he's got foreign connections all over the place. But at some level of, we're not talking high crimes and misdemeanors. This is an out and out takeover of power that is, at this point, I mean, how much evidence do you need that he's just trying to have more power than the Constitution allows? He's just taking on power. He is not looking to the Constitution as a document that actually guides his actions. He is specifically and expressly ignoring it, thus treason. It doesn't always have to be about spies and this and that. At some point, when you're so far against the country and the Constitution that you just literally act like a dictator, then you must be, by definition, because remember, there are even crimes that are, it doesn't matter what your intent is. At some point, we assume your intent. This is one of those. We assume your intent. If you're going to do something so blatantly unconstitutional as to make a $300 billion decision, the $1 trillion decision, when there's still a Congress, then you must be purposely trying to just say to all of America and its institutions. You must be purposely trying to wield hundreds of billions of taxpayer money and debt and just say, it's my money. I'll do with it what I want. And if I want to buy my next campaign by using your own taxpayer money and making individual decisions, that's what I'll do. And when those six states say, hey, but that's going to cost us money. Well, guess what? He wanted you to subsidize his campaign. That's what that is. Subsidizing his campaign. He couldn't follow up on his promise when he want, which is always a stupid idea anyway. I promise to blah, blah, administer and preside. If we don't get back to that, we're okay, we have to get back to administering and presiding. That's what the president, root word, preside means. Can he start some legislation? No, not really. He can take the bully pulpit and then find someone to sponsor similar legislation. But that's the most he can do in the legislative process. It's bully pulpit it. He doesn't get to initiate it himself, and he certainly doesn't get to initiate. Listen, one more time for the slow people. Congress, president, vice president. Speaking of slow, holy crap, Kamala. Okay. If the most that anything says that you can do as far as legislation is veto it or sign it, where the would you get the honest idea that you could just go all the way around them and create a law on its own that you don't even have to sign except with executive order? Where would you get that idea? Something that is so substantive and basic to the everyday actions of tens to hundreds of millions of Americans. If the Constitution says the most you can do is veto or you can sign it, then where the f*** do you get the idea that instead you can just replace Congress? You get that idea because you were never fit for the f***ing office, and you're certainly not fit for the office now. You get that idea because you don't care a single whit about the United States or the country. You get that idea because you're inherently criminal and inherently power hungry, maybe inherently stupid, but certainly at this point, low functioning, and quite possibly inherently bought. Remember, it's not Biden, it's past tense. It's Botden. Okay, guys, that's it for me. Thanks for listening.
And an addendum, because at this point, it's predictable. The same guy who has tried to cancel the Congress twice, if you just want to count the massive shot mandate, and then also the student debt relief, is now trying to cancel Congress again by, in essence, negating existing marijuana laws and sentencing laws and the entirety of the structure of how people who are convicted become released or get their convictions overturned by pardoning an untold number of people from simple marijuana offenses. Now, I'm a libertarian. I would definitely and could definitely go with the argument of decriminalization. It depends on the details, but yes, I believe that there has been massive problems. We are the most imprisoned population on the planet. We have an prison industrial complex. There are injustices, or at least there were, and I believe it's still true, where a poor prisoner or prisoner's family with very little financial resources has a barrier to even talk to them when family and outside support is super important to them being a little bit better citizens by the time they leave, because you have to use certain telephone carriers that overcharge because they get to contract with the prison systems. There's all kinds of problems with our prison industrial complex. And I could be for, and really I am, for decriminalization. I just say what I could be for. Why I add that question is, of course, everything depends on details, right? So I'm all about it, potentially. But I'm not about a president getting to do it by himself. He is again, how much longer, I'll just say it one more time, how much more information do we need to know that he is simply canceling Congress? It's not that he's trying to, it's that he is. And at some point when you're canceling Congress, you have to say you must, it must be because you know you are. I mean, you're the president. You're supposed to have some sense. You have to know you're violating it. And even if you don't, then you're unfit. How much longer do we need to take for Congress to simply say enough is enough? Because those Congress members should understand and know. I've talked about it on podcasts before. The problem with the court system is they don't get to raise their hands and go, that's entirely unconstitutional. The Supreme Court has to wait for a case. And even then, if they can avoid it with standing issues, you know, the issues of standing or any number of reasons, they don't have to take the case. Gosh, good Lord, I would hope they would. But they are not an active police pull you over for your violation situation. They're not. Congress can do that. And they must. Call your congressman, folks. He's going to keep doing the same thing. He is violating the basic very framework of our system. And when you give in to a dictator because he seems to be favoring you now, all you're really doing is supporting the idea of a dictator.